Blog Talk Radio.
If you believe you can move the highest mountains, cross the greatest oceans, walk across the water, you feel defeated, falling on your knees and looking up for some hope tonight. You try to stand up, but you throw your hands up, like you no longer have the strength to fight. Cause you've seen too many sunsets, too many days ending in the darkest night. But on your own, you'll never know, you'll never know. If you believe you can move the highest mountain, cross the greatest ocean, walk across the water, the water. All you need is faith, but it's almost like you lost your way. Took a few wrong turns, took a few breaks, falling behind now looking for grace. Cause you need someone to lift you up, yeah, make right of the things you've done. Cause on your own you'll never know, you'll never know. If you believe you can move the highest mountain, cross the greatest ocean, walk across the water, the water.
And you are listening to Ask Sophia here on G Radio New York City. Oh my goodness, how excited am I? It's an absolute pleasure to be here with you all this evening. And I am so looking forward to speaking to some of you this evening and discussing and talking about some of the topics that are really important to you. Thoroughly looking forward to it, and I need you to call in, and the number for you to call into is 001, that's if you're calling from outside the US, 563-999-3555. Feel free to call. This is the show that we will be discussing lots of different topics that are really important. I promise to be extremely forthright and give you into my thoughts and my own personal opinions on the topics that are really important to you. So please give us a call. Our team here will be delighted to answer the calls and put you through to me. So looking forward to hearing from you now. Now, I understand we have somebody on the line waiting to come through. Wow, that's quick.
So we have Jason and Grant on the line. They're live.
Oh, my goodness. Great. Hello, Jason.
Hi, Sophia. How are you doing?
I'm really well. How are you?
I'm fine.
I hear you have a British accent, so calling from the UK, fantastic.
Yeah, calling from Worcestershire in the UK and listening, really interested in your show.
You are live on G Radio this evening. What is your question? How can I help?
I work in an office environment, and recently I've been really impressed impressed with the incredible sort of artificial AI things that are happening. And you can write a letter, you can ask it to do things. It's really, really amazing. And then the more I look into it, the more I think, actually, is it just making me lazy? Is it making me over-reliant on technology? Am I not using my brain as much as I should do? I just really want to know your thoughts, because I know that in the wider world, there are some concerns about artificial intelligence. I just wanted to know what your thoughts were.
Fabulous. Jason, artificial intelligence, yes. Something that I have been discussing recently, actually, it's something that we've actually had a conversation with some colleagues of mine. I am in belief that artificial intelligence is an issue that I think is going to be a problem going forward for kind to a certain extent, because I think, like you've just mentioned, you touched on one of the things that you mentioned was talking about taking away from what we use our brains to do. You know, we can now type in a computer. We want to write a book, or we want to do something. We just type into Google or whatever it may be, and we can come up with some of this, you know, programs that would potentially, you know, write you whatever you need. Now, that to me makes me worry. I come from a media background as well previously, and you know, we have editors, we have journalists, we have people that obviously, you know, depend on writing and working, which is great. They can utilize some of the AI. However, you know, children nowadays as well, it just sort of feels for me that if the more we go down this area with AI, it's reducing the amount of, you know, work that children have to put in to learn, like we did. I can only talk from my own experience. You know, we had no computers, we had no telephones in the days, you know, when I was growing up. And we had to use our brains to learn, you know, how to do mathematics, how to write an essay. Nowadays, children can just jump on a computer, type in what they want, and it's there at the end of their fingertips. It's there for them. So, yeah, I mean, that's my initial thought on AI. And I think it's only going to get more in depth, and what concerns me is that we're going to be living in a world, you know, 10 years from now, 20 years from now. Do you remember the movies that we used to watch, the Back to the Future movies? I remember watching those as a kid, and I remember looking at those movies and thinking to myself, oh my God, could you imagine if we can actually see each other on face to face, you know, make a phone call and actually see people face to face. I mean, that was just something that wasn't going to happen at, you know, at that point in time. And now we're FaceTiming, we're doing all of these things. 30 years on, that's where we are. I think my opinion is that, yeah, I think the AI is going to get stronger, and I think it is going to continue to get more into depth. But my concern is that it's going to be detrimental to the future generations going forward, in the sense that, again, they're not going to be using the skills and sets that they need to learn going forward. That's my personal opinion on things. I mean, what do you think, Jason?
I think you're absolutely right. I think it's a fine balance with technology that I think if it's managed and controlled in the right way, it can be of great benefit. But I think there's a saying that with knowledge comes power, and with the power sometimes things can be taken out of control and manipulated that can cause pain and suffering. And but if managed correctly, I think it can be really great, really useful. But at the same time, I think you're absolutely right. If you use it in the wrong way about children, who knows? I think we go through different, we're probably of the same age, we go through different generations, and you see people, what we see now as a norm was never the norm in our in our era. So I think, yeah, if you use the right way. Yeah.
Absolutely. And I agree. I do totally agree. Really, thank you. That's really interesting. Thank you so much for asking that question, because I think it's a very prevalent question, especially in the times that we're living in today. And I think people really need to think long and hard. And listen, I know that there are going to be people out there that are going to completely disagree with what I say. I really do. And I think, you know, all your technological, you know, gurus that know all of these things are going to say, you know, probably something complete opposite to me. But I think, yeah, it is a very fine balance of what we do. We have to be very careful as we go forward, especially with our children and the future generations, so that they don't get lazy. Because I think that's what it is. I think it's going to make people very, very lazy, personally. But thank you for your question. I really appreciate that. And thank you for taking the time to call in all the way from the UK as well. So thank you again, Jason. Hopefully we'll get to speak again on another show. Feel free to call in again another time. But thanks again for your time. Now, I understand we also have Grant on the line. Is that correct? Are you there, Grant?
Hi, Sophia.
Hey, Grant, how are you?
Fantastic, thanks. Great to hear you on air. I've been looking forward to listening to this.
It's fantastic. Jason, don't go away, because I want to hear your point on this as well, if you're there.
I'm still there.
Grant, it's a pleasure to have you here, actually. Thank you so much for taking the time to call in.
My pleasure. Yeah, I've been really looking forward to this. As you know, we've known each other a while, and I've been anticipating the shows, because I think you've got, you know, a lot of value to bring to a platform like this. So yeah, really excited to see it. But I think I did want to ask you about something different, but the question that Jason asked, I think, is an absolutely fascinating one in relation to AI. My background, I'm based over here in the UK as well, but I do quite a bit of traveling, and I'm actually in the tech industry myself. That question was right up my street. I'd just like to sort of add a couple of things to you, if I could, just to see what your thoughts are on it, really, because I heard a really good analogy, actually. When AI start to really sort of accelerate in terms of the way that we use it on a day-to-day basis with sort of, you know, OpenAI and ChatGPT late last year. My business, I'm in sort of marketing, tech, websites, that kind of stuff, was, you know, right at the forefront of using it. And I have to be honest, when it first came out, I was both amazed and scared at the same time because it's so good. However, what I'd love to hear your opinion on this. Something that changed my opinion slightly was when I saw an interview with a scientist who was really sort of knowledgeable about it. And he said it shouldn't be scared about it, because if you use the analogy, it's a bit like when, you know, 100 years ago, most people were farmers and they were ploughing the fields, you know, using horses and ploughs, and there were loads and loads of people in the farming industry. But then somebody invented a tractor, and then all of a sudden we can reduce the manpower and produce lots more food.
Yeah.
And his analogy was that AI is just like that. It's just technology moving forward that allows us to do more, faster, more efficiently, but ultimately humanity will just diversify and find other things to do. What do you think about that metaphor?
I absolutely 100% agree, genuinely. I think he has probably hit the nail on the head, without a shadow of a doubt, because this is my concern. And listen, I don't profess to be a technological. I'm probably one of the most untechnical people on this planet. However, I think, you know, looking at everything that we use, I mean, our mobile phones, oh my God, the things that our mobile phones can do. And, you know, people's lives depend on these mobile phones. And I just think to myself, you know, we're losing ourselves as a human, as the human race. We are dependent so much on technological things at this moment in time that we are forgetting, like I said, really important things, you know, studying and doing the things that our generation, our kids. I remember when I was a kid, I'd be out on my bike getting fresh air, I'd be reading, I'd be doing all of these things. Nowadays, kids are on their phones, kids are playing around on their phones, social media is overtaken. And don't get me wrong, I'm on social media. I'm not knocking social media in that sense. However, what I'm trying to say is I just think that, you know, the more we develop, and it's only going to get even more intense over the next few years, I actually think technology is going to override what we as human beings are doing at this moment in time. You know, you go to factories, you look at some of these, you know, car manufacturers and people that, you know, produce telephones, whatever it may be, they're using the AI technology to build their cars because they don't need the manpower. They're saving on manpower. They're saving on the financial aspect of things. In business, that's an area, but that's not good for us. You know, people are losing their jobs through this as well. So, again, like I said, I think people are probably going to be, you know, quite stringent in the sense of, you know, coming back and saying that, you know, I'm being very sort of, what's the word I'm looking for? Closed-minded to a certain extent on this, but I do worry. I'm not gonna lie. I absolutely do worry, and I do believe that AI is dangerous to mankind. Personally, you know, it is very, very dangerous, and we just need to balance everything.
Bill Wozniak earlier this week, Steve Jobs' partner, when he set up Apple, was calling for a pause on the AI so that we can kind of, you know, take a pause, get our heads around what it really means. I mean, I've just spent the last 2 days in Brighton here in the UK at the SEO conference, which is, you know, all for us nerdy tech people, all about the internet.
You're fabulous tech people. You are great guys.
But, you know, the amount of conversations that were going on about AI in that building, and it really is a bit of a free-for-all at the moment, because they've created this technology that they're not really sure what the ultimate iteration of that technology is, where it could go. Even the creators of it, I think, are still surprising themselves as to what it can achieve. We're in for I don't think anybody can really predict for sure what we're going to be in the next 12, 24, 36 months in terms of the way AI will, you know. But there are plus sides as well, Sophia. I'm reading a book at the moment. It's called AI 2041. And it's fascinating.
Okay.
It's a collaboration between one of the world's leading AI experts and one of the world's leading sci-fi writers. And they've collaborated to write a group of short stories based in what the scientist thinks the world will be like in 2041, based on what he thinks the technology will be doing. And I'm really surprised in reading it, actually, that it's not as dissimilar to the world we live in now, in his view, to what you'd expect. Because sometimes technology you know, although it's available, it takes a while for the world to catch up with it. And that's kind of, and so it's not as scary by his estimation as perhaps, you know, we think. But I think, you know, it's a worry.
I think you're probably, nobody knows, Grant, this is the whole thing. And Jason, I'd like your opinion on this as well. But I think, you know, nobody knows what's going to happen, really. We can only go by what we are seeing this moment in time. And if you look at all of the things like the metaverse, you know, again, like I said, I don't profess to know everything about it, but it is unbelievably realistic. It's just shockingly realistic. And we are living in that make-believe life, and that's what everything seems to be in our generations understand more than the real life that we live in. So, yeah, Jason, what are your thoughts? Do you mind me asking you what your thoughts are?
Yeah, it's listening to Grant, because it was he gave the tractor analogy, and I thought, well, actually, what happens when the tractor then replaces the farmer, right? And then you're a place where if you're in the business you're in, Grant, and you suddenly they don't need you anymore because AI is building websites or designing things because someone just says, ask the question, it delivers it. So I think it was interesting to talk about when you look about people like Elon Musk, who's saying that AI could be potentially dangerous. And I think it's interesting to talk about the conference that people are now starting to say, no, we've got to stop and think. And I think it comes with a famous saying in a famous film, with great power comes great responsibility. I think there's just potentially with all this knowledge, if there's irresponsible people, it can become dangerous. And I do think there is that risk. And that's why I think actually the power of the human brain is a bit like those Terminator films, possibly. You see the robots take over.
Yeah.
I think you just sort of slow down and stop and think about how you manage. And if these great brains of the modern era are saying that as well, I just think that I think everything in technology should be there to help you to do your job and make your life a bit better, but not to take over. And that's where the balance is.
Well, I think I agree with both of you, actually. 100%, and it's an interesting topic. It's something that we could probably discuss all night, to be honest with you. But obviously, I want to make sure that we can try and get as many people on the show as we possibly can to discuss lots of other things. And I know, Grant, you came on with a different question, and you know, what was that in particular question? But thank you for obviously contributing to the AI question. And Jason, fantastic question. Thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate that. Thank you. So, Grant, what was...
I got distracted.
Stay on the line, Jason.
By that one. So, I've known you a while, Sophia. So, you know, we are... I've watched, you know, the way you go about your business. And in my role, in my business, I help a lot of young entrepreneurs and a lot of people that are starting a business, and I would use you as a reference to them to show the attributes that people should look to for success. And I think one of the most sort of dominant characteristics that I see in you that I think I'd really like to find out where it's based is your resilience. In the world that you work in, you know, there are always setbacks coming your way that you manage to navigate and work through, and, you know, particularly some of the deals that you put together where most people would give up. I'd love to just find out more about where's that resilience come from, and how can you help other people find kind of perseverance?
Yeah, thank you, Grant, and thank you for your kind words. I really appreciate that. For me, it's always been the drive. I have huge drive, as you know, and it's all about, you know, achieving my goals and achieving what I want to do going forward, really. And Persistence and resilience is key to any success. I do believe that you have to be, you know, persistent in everything that you do. Persistence is what will make you successful in the long term. You know, we all fail. There's not one person on this planet that can turn around and say that they haven't failed in something. And to be honest with you, I don't think you can actually become a success unless you've actually failed, because that's what makes you stronger. You know, when you're able to pick yourself up, once you've, you know, whether it be a mistake or if a deal's fallen through or whatever it may be, you need to be able to, you know, pick yourself back up, dust yourself down and move on to the next. You know, it's a numbers game, and it's all about, you know, having that belief in yourself to achieve what you want to achieve. And, you know, for me, that is imperative to any business and any personal growth. You know, believe in you. If you don't believe in yourself, then why should anybody else believe in you? You know, if you don't believe you can achieve your goals, why would anybody else want to, you know, support you? And I think the other thing, Grant, and I think you'll probably agree with me on this, it's also the people that you associate and work with. You surround yourself with people that you need to help you to where you want to be. If you're surrounding yourself with people that are going to continue to drag you down, then unfortunately you're never gonna do what you want to do. So I think, you know, that is really, really important. I think it's something that you need to focus on. Just don't give up. The law of averages say that if you continue to do things, the chances are something's going to hit. So continue to do it. If you stop, it's never going to happen. If you continue to do it, then one day, whether it be in a week, 5 weeks, 10 months, a year, 10 years from now, if you continue to do what you want to do, you're going to achieve. Now, bear with me one moment, gentlemen, because I have another lady on the call at the moment, Joanna. Joanna, are you there?
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Hey, can you hear me? Thank you for calling. How are you?
In the UK. Oh, it's lovely to be on the show tonight. It really is. I followed you on Instagram and Facebook and Twitter, and you know, I'm listening to all the comments tonight, and this actually links really well with Grant's question. I marvel at your positivity and your positive attitude to life. So what advice would you give to help people to stay positive when things do not go as planned?
Yeah, this fits in exactly with what Grant has asked. So, I mean, again, like I said, and I think another area that people worry about is the fear of failure. You know, it's not, we shouldn't fear failure. We should not fear failure. You know, we should just embrace what we learn. Work, that's going to make you stronger, because you're going to learn from the mistake, or, you know, learn from the deal that didn't go through, and you'll make it better. So, you know, it's really important, I think, that we need to make sure that people have to have that resilience to be able to just dust themselves down and move on. Don't be scared. Don't be scared of what goes on. Just get on with it and do what you need to do. And have an unwavering, you have to have an unwavering belief in your ability to be able to, you know, to achieve the goals that you set yourself. If your goals aren't big enough, you know, if they're not mad, then they're not big enough. You really need to just never limit yourself on what you can do. The only people that limit ourselves is ourselves. The limits that we put are on ourselves. If you are limitless and you don't put a limit on yourself, you can achieve anything that you want to achieve. So, you know, never give up. That's what I will say from that perspective. What do you think, gentlemen? Do you mind me asking? I'm going to ask Grant and Jason as well, because I'd be intrigued to see what their thoughts are.
Yeah, I think the comment that you just, you know, the thing about staying positive, your social media feed is awesome, because you'll always post something in the morning that is, you know, inspirational and positive. And regardless of, you know, what might be happening, you know, whether there's ups or downs going on in business or life, that positive attitude is come shining through. I wonder, Sophia, have you got kind of like a morning routine that you do that sort of, you know, gets you set up for the day?
There is actually, Grant. Can I tell you, I do. I mean, I wake up, I'm an early bird. Okay, so I do wake up extremely early. I think it gives me the time to be able to focus on the day ahead. I always plan the night before, if I'm honest with you, what I'm going to be doing the following day. I like a system. I like systems, and I like to know what I'm going to be doing, because that's what makes it productive for me. But I'll wake up in the morning and I meditate for at least 15 minutes in the morning, and I say my positive affirmations. I am one of these people that truly believes, whether you believe it or whether you don't, I truly believe whatever you put out into this universe is what you're going to get back. So if you're positive and you believe in what you are talking and sort of affirming, it's going to come back to you tenfold. And that's what I've always done, and it's never failed me so far. So yeah, I wake up, I meditate, I have 2 or 3 cups of coffee, because I do not function without coffee. And I literally, get ready for the day. And I should work out more. I used to work out. Time has been a bit difficult, but yeah, I'd normally do a small workout and then crack on. And a cold shower, gentlemen. I will always have a cold shower in the morning as well. So it stimulates the nerves. It stimulates the brain, but that's my sort of morning routine. And eating healthily is a big thing for me. I think what you put into your body is what you will get out of it as well. So, but I'm sure there's lots of people on this planet that probably do very similar things, to be honest. But that's my mindset. If I can get my mindset in place, and can I say again, it's all about mindset. It's about what you believe. And if you start the day off the way you want it to go, then there's no reason for it not to happen. But you have to do that. So that's my daily routine, really. How about you guys? What do you do?
Well, if you're asking me, I wish I had your strength and stamina and positivity all the time, because I'm probably. I'm a pragmatist, a realist, an opportunist, but I think your passion, your drive, your determination, your persistence, and I think just you sound like a very, very unique person. So yeah, I think it's important that you surround yourself with good people as well. But if I was as rigid and as structured as you, I'll probably be in a better place. But I don't eat coffee. I don't. I have a routine, maybe. But when you're working in funny hours, you're working in different places. There needs to be some structure to it. But you also have a bit of fluidity, and that probably comes from a little bit of entrepreneurialism that comes out as well. But no, I don't have your discipline and probably your persistence that maybe I should have more.
No, oh, Jason, I'm sure what you do is phenomenal anyway. But, I mean, you sound like an unbelievable gentleman. I'm sure, you know, your routine is definitely a good routine too. Grant, What's your routine? I've known Grant for a while, so what would you say your routine is?
I'm a bit of a stickler for my routine, so I've got a little, you know, I when I wake up, I do a little bit of meditation, as you do, which I find really, you know, a good way to start the day. And also, I try and imagine the important things that I've got to do for that day. I try and imagine them. And I do that before I get out of bed, actually. I lie in bed and sort of imagine, right, what I'm going to do and sort of imagine the best outcome for those things. And then I've got this, I like to put on a bit of a feel-good playlist. I go downstairs, I've got this little very sort of nerdy routine with my coffee. So I'll get my fresh coffee beans, I'll grind them up, and I'll make my fresh coffee. And then I'll take that into the front room, and I'll write out, like you, I'll write out my goals. So I do that every morning. So it's and my goals are all linked to my, I set annual goals, and I break them down into 7 different sections, and I try and move towards those goals every day. And then usually I don't work out every day, but I'll either do stretching or a workout. And another thing that I do that I really love is I also have a cold shower. I have a shower after my workout, and I have a warm shower followed by a cold shower. And whilst I'm in the shower, I've got this app which is called Think Up on my phone.
Okay.
What it allows you to do is you can record your goals or your affirmations with your own voice, and it plays them back to you. So I actually play that to myself whilst I'm having a shower.
Technology again. Here we go.
There you go.
Technology again.
But somebody recommended me that app years ago. And there's a guy called Dan Pena. I don't know if you've heard of him. He's an entrepreneur guy. And he recommended it in a talk that I went to see if it was a few years ago. And I've used it ever since. And it's awesome. It's really awesome. I tell everybody about it.
That's great. And can I one thing I forgot to tell you, everybody, you've got to do this because this will build you for the morning. You've got to put some tunes on in the morning and you've got to dance around. You've got to wiggle yourself. You've got to get out there and do it. Make your coffee, put the radio on, put some music on and just have a bit of a boogie, because I tell you what, the energy that you're going to feel after that is phenomenal. Swing those hips. That's all I can say. Swing those hips. Get out there and just... It's yours. I think it's sort of... And my daughter, it's actually quite amusing, really, because my son and daughter will come in and they'll be like, oh, Mom, please, what on earth are you doing? And it's actually quite amusing because, you know, you've got a 14 and a 16-year-old that's sort of like, oh, my God, Mom. It, you know, I can imagine embarrassing them, you know, taking them to school or something like that. And they are, yeah. But, yeah, definitely recommend it to anybody. Get some tunes on in the morning and dance around your kitchen or wherever you're going to be and have a cup of coffee and smile. Keep that smile going. Just, you know, it just fills your day with light. So, Joanna, what do you do? Do you mind me asking?
No, that's fine. I think there's a pattern here because we wake up. I mean, I'm listening to the gentlemen that have been talking. They're waking up really early, and you wake up early. Well, I wake up at 5 o'clock in the morning, especially on a work day. The first thing I do is I thank God for the day. Okay, that's the first thing, because when I was 50. And I'm 59 now, I had a stroke. So every day since that time, I wake up and I say out loud, thank you, God. Okay? That's the first thing that I do. And then I say a little prayer. Keep my family safe. Help me to have a good day today. Help the people who I'm working with today to benefit, etc. You know, so... That's my first bit that I do. I put the music on, as you've just said. You know, I read through my work that I've got for the day. I make sure that I know what I'm talking about, because that's really, really important in my work. And you know, you go and have your shower. The cold shower is a must. And you know, you put on your work clothes, you put on your makeup, and you become the person that people will see. So know, it's putting on my outside look, if you like. There's a personal look as well, and that isn't as rigid as the outside look, because I'm working with people in management, and I do believe that you have to be yourself. There is no way that you can maintain a face unless you are yourself, and you know that you have a professional self and you have a personal self. And sometimes, I have to say, sometimes it crosses over, doesn't it? And that, when I asked you about the positivity bit, because sometimes things will happen and, you know, you don't get the job that you really, really want. And so you sort of, you know, you're upset. You're upset. You try to get yourself out the doldrums. And I also believe that if you didn't get this, another door will open. So I've learnt that. I've learnt this strategy to cope, actually, with some sort of failure that happens. You know, something else will come along. Something else will come along. So this thing about positivity for me, you know, I've seen so many people really go downhill because things haven't worked out for them. And it's about, I think, about everybody supporting each other. You know, when you ask somebody, are you all right? And they say yes. It doesn't mean they're all right. You know? And so for me, it's about having people around you. You said something about having people around you. And I think that is really, really important. You know? So,
I agree with you totally, Joanna. Yeah. I think it's imperative that we have a family network, potentially. I'm not saying that everybody has that, because not everybody does, and this is what it is. But for me, you know, having a family network who is there to support me, and, you know, good friends and colleagues and people that I know that completely and utterly, you know, support what I do. But it works both ways. You know, I support them, they support me, we get the job done, whatever needs to be done. And I think when you've got the right people in your network, I don't know whether you've ever heard the saying of, you know, time vampires and people that come into, people that you work with or, you know, associate with. If they're toxic, it really can cause major issues. And Grant and I probably know quite a lot about that side of things as well. But, you know, you've got to surround yourself with people that can actually, you know, keep the negative energy away from you. Constantly, you know, radiate light, radiate good vibes, whatever vibration we are putting out to the universe is what we're going to get back. If we are putting out negativity, then all you're going to experience is negativity. That's my belief personally. But on another note, it's about, gentlemen, on a lighter note.
Is it?
Yeah, it is, Joanna. I absolutely 100% with you on that. So, I mean, following on from what we were discussing now, I mean, what do you guys like to do to relax? That's one of the things. How do you relax your brain? You know, if you've had a really stressful time in, you know, in work, you know, what can I just ask each of you exactly what you do? Obviously, Grant, you mentioned that you're in AI, obviously. Joanna, what line of work are you in, if you don't mind me asking?
I'm in education. I was a head teacher for a long time.
So that's stressful in itself. Oh my goodness. So what, Jason, you are in the
I work with charities, not for profit organizations.
Okay, wonderful. That's a feel-good factor. Phenomenal. You know, we love doing all of that, so it resonates with me. So what do you guys do to relax your brain, if you want to chill out? What's your go-to? Jason, do you want to answer that first?
Sure. I tend to like just to go for nice long walks where I live. There's some beautiful countryside, and when the weather's good, this country is amazing. It's not always good, but I love to just sit down, and actually I like to people watch. It's always fascinating just to watch people going by and wondering what their life's like, I was in the Cotswolds a couple of weeks back with some friends from Canada, cousins from Canada, and we were just sitting there in a nice country pub watching people go around, go by, and the weather was amazing, and that was just a really beautiful afternoon, that sort of thing.
Fantastic. Grant, what do you like to do to relax?
I like going for walks as well. I'd say that my escapism, my guilty pleasure is I love a bit of sci-fi movie. So that, you mentioned Back to the Future earlier. That took me back. But yeah, I love to be transported to, another world or a different future or whatever, and just immerse myself in and I think that really does take me out of, the stresses of life, because you can, I think if it's done well, there's nothing better than a really good movie.
Yeah, I agree. I think, if I get the time, I like watching a movie when I get the time. I agree with you on that. Joanna, how about yourself? What do you do to...
how strange this is.
To relax.
This is so strange. This is so strange because I also like going for a walk. I also like that. I also like a bit of retail therapy and a coffee when I'm out. But I also like watching...
It's a woman thing.
Watching a bit of a horror film. A horror film or two, because it takes me out of reality. So Stephen King and, and of course, you know, going out for something to eat. I like my food. It's doing something that is different, so that I don't think about the job. And I've got better at this, so that when I'm spending time with my loved ones, I'm not internally working through work. So, so I am actually present. I'm actually present with my family, with my partner, rather than everything working inside my head, which I used to do.
Yeah.
So, that's what I do.
But I think we're all very similar by the sounds of things. I think spending time, quality time with family is a big thing for me. I like to be able to, sit down and do nothing, because I think we live such busy lives, all of us. We live such busy lives that sometimes we don't take enough time to sort of, appreciate what we have and the people around us. That are the ones that are really going to help us to sort of steer away from the everyday, full-on work that we do. So, spending time with family, movies, eating out. Yeah, I'm a bit of a foodie, obviously. I'm being Greek. It's a big thing for me. So, food, cooking. Entertaining. I like to entertain a lot of people, which is fantastic. I like to cook for lots. So, that's really, really good to hear. What I was going to ask as well, I'm asking you questions here, actually, guys, as well. So, one of the things I was asked, and I'd be intrigued to hear your opinions on this, but if you had a magic wand, and you could actually do something to change the world that we live in today, what would you do? What would you, what would you do to change the world that we live in today for the better? Joanna, what would you think?
What was it? Gosh, this is a hard one. This is a hard one.
It is.
You know,
I'm putting you on the spot. Everybody, I'm putting you on the spot.
This is
gentlemen,
on the spot.
You've got a few minutes
this
to think.
The spot. I wish that everybody would talk to each other. It would hopefully stop the wars. It would help everybody. I think there's an openness. I think all of us, when we get to know each other, we open up, don't we? But there's very much a persona, a work persona, and another persona. And I'm very interested in personas in terms of how we can use talk to heal each other and to heal people, to heal, you know, it worries me that people don't talk enough and don't talk honestly enough. That's
mm-hmm.
my thing. I think we can skim over things, but we don't open up enough. That's my thing.
Oh, that's interesting. Very interesting. Grant?
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, that's quite a deep question to ask, isn't it? Because there's so many things that we can point out. I mean, I think fundamentally what I've found in life is that, you know, in most cases, most people in the world are fundamentally good. There's a few bad eggs, but most people are fundamentally good. However, whether it's society or peer pressure or whatever it might be, not that many people act in a fundamentally good way all the time, which just, that does frustrate me because, you know, my experience is that, like I say, most people are fundamentally good, but the way in which the world is, you know, has evolved, we're kind of almost under pressure to be selfish and, you know, deceitful and so there's really, you know, the motivations behind all of that is are basically because of the way that, you know, our society has evolved. To answer your question, I'd love to be able to, like that magic wand, is kind of remove all these facades about what people think is important and isn't important, to allow everybody to be a little bit more honest and a little bit more humble and a bit more, you know, selfless to one another.
I love that.
You know, we're not too far away from it if we just remove all of the, you know, all of the smoke screens that society gives us.
Yeah, I actually 100% agree. Sorry, Joanna, carry on.
Yeah.
You were saying?
No. I was saying about helping each other. I really do think. I mean, Grant, you're talking about an honesty. I think sometimes there's we can manipulate people, can't we, in work? We can manipulate. And that's all part of work. That's all part of and parcel of life. But there is this, let's speak openly, let's speak honestly, and, you know, and try to be as positive as we can about things. But, you know, it's about helping each other. We are on this in this world for not very long. And if we can't leave a legacy for ourselves about helping each other, you know, we don't know when somebody's suffering. I had a friend who hung themselves, you know, and that changed my attitude to everything. Just because somebody says they're okay does not mean that they are okay, you know.
Yeah.
Joanna,
I've got to take a short station break. Keep that thought. Jason, I'll come straight back to you. It's only going to take a short time, so let's just take a quick short break and we'll be straight back. You're listening to the Ask Sophia show on G Radio New York City. Hi, we're back. Right, okay, very quickly. Jason, your thoughts. What would you do? If you had that magic wand and you could shake that around, what would you do?
I agree with everyone else has been talking, but I suppose to try and keep it as simple as possible, I just wish there was a little bit more common sense in the world. I think if everyone just maybe a bit controversial, if everything a little less woke and everything was a bit more sort of practical and sensible, and people like Joanna says can just talk to each other and there's a bit more empathy, but above all, just a bit of common sense, you'll probably get a lot more done a lot quicker and you wouldn't have as much mess going on in the world as we have. I think it's just a combination of all those things, but I think the thing that sometimes seems to be missing the most, I think, these days is common sense, to just solve things with practical thinking. And I think that the biggest probably culprits of not using it is probably our politicians, because the amount of rubbish that goes on you hear, and that things across the globe, across the world, that people are just sort of like creating problems that could have been resolved quite easily. They all had a bit more common sense, and they might have got to the solution much quicker instead of costing us time, money, and probably lives. So,
yeah, you know, Jason, you've hit the nail on the head there. I think you are absolutely 100% correct, and I think we all work in different industries, but sometimes, you know, the amount of lack, like you say, the lack of common sense in, you know, simple situations is actually quite shocking. And, you know, if people took the time to just to think before they do things, I think we definitely live in a different world to a certain extent. So, yeah, I absolutely agree with everything that you're all saying there. But I just think it's such a difficult.
Oh, sorry, Sophia. I've got a question.
No,
for you.
No, go on.
That's just kind of brought up for me, because you talked about, you know, we're all talking about sort of what would happen with the magic wand, if, you know, and what the world would be like. You know, we are living in a fundamentally different world to the one we were living in sort of 3.5 years ago. We've, you know, some people more than others, but what Sophia, you know, has changed in your world since the pandemic and lockdown? Has it made much difference to you and your life and your business?
Yeah, I think it's made me realise that, you know, we put too much emphasis sometimes on very menial things. And obviously, you know, being shut down and closed in our homes, you know, shut away in our homes for, my God, here in the UK, how long was it for? Nearly 2 years at one point, you know, on and off. It was just ridiculous. We had to change the way that we worked. And obviously, if you follow me on social media, then you'll know that, you know, I work in different areas. I have a number of areas that I have, and obviously with the Private Members Club. But I saw things actually sort of go in a different direction altogether. And we had to think about how to continue to make things work, because so many businesses sort of completely lost their way through the pandemic. For us and for me, my connections grew exponentially, literally, and has opened some doors that, you know, I never in a million years thought that I would be able to open. So the pandemic for me helped me to grow, you know, my connections and the business, like I said, tenfold in many ways from a connections perspective. And one thing I will say, you know, very, very clearly, I measure, you know, my success on not monetary value, but on things that I've been able to do that are better than things that they were, let's say, a year ago, 2 years ago. And also, you know, measure my success on ways that I can help other people. You know, Joanna mentioned earlier, you know, leaving a legacy. And again, she hit the nail on the head there, because for me, it's really important that we're able to leave a legacy here whilst we're alive, not when we're dead. You know, I don't want to be remembered, you know, for, you know, for how much money I made or what material things I had or any of that. I want to be, you know, remembered, God forbid, you know, and I'm saying way in the future, because I'm not planning on going anywhere for a long time yet. a legacy, help other people. We have got so many people on this planet that just need a helping hand. And if people were willing to reach out and support, and Jason obviously being involved in the charitable sector, you know, myself for a long time, and obviously Jason will understand this. The feeling that you can get from actually helping others, it's addictive, and it's something that it's in my DNA. I want to continue to do that. So from the business side of things, going back to your question, sorry, I veered off slightly there. Yes, Grant, I think, you know, the pandemic did make a big difference for my business, but it was, like I said, a positive thing for me, because it made us think in a different way to be able to grow the business exponentially, but through the connections that we made whilst we were having to speak to people through Zoom or whatever it was at that point in time. How has it affected your businesses, if you don't mind me asking? How has it affected your businesses?
Well, it's quite interesting, actually, because one of the ways that it's changed us fundamentally is that before the pandemic, nobody would have thought twice about coming into the office every day and working a full day in the office. But since the pandemic, it's certainly in my industry, obviously I'm in the tech industry, so people can quite easily work from home or, you know, out of the office. But getting people to come back into the office has been a real challenge. Mm-hmm. And it's something that is, it's one of those things that I'm a little bit, you know, conflicted by, because, you know, a bit like Joanna was saying earlier, you know, talking and that human interaction, actual face-to-face meeting with people, as I think, got benefits that you know, far outweigh what we can do when we're working remotely. You cannot be having that, you know, that real life interaction. But I think particularly with, you know, if I'm employing some younger people, their expectation now is that, you know, they shouldn't have to come into work. And the pandemic has changed that, you know, that it would never have been a question. And to the point where I'm finding it quite challenging without actually being, you know, a tyrant boss, getting people to actually come into the office, which is, I think, you know, I suppose on the one hand it's good for the environment and that kind of stuff, but in terms of human interactions, I've seen some of my team, you know, struggle with their confidence, and they've become a lot more insular, you know, less confident in terms of the way they speak to people, and less, you know, not wanting to leave the house. So I do wonder what the hangover is from COVID, that some of the things that we might not necessarily expect.
Have you seen, if you don't mind, have you seen productivity go down, or have you seen productivity go up?
Because I haven't seen a change in the productivity. It's not got any worse. It's not got any better. So from a purely business perspective, it actually doesn't matter whether people come into the office or not. But I think from a team morale, you know, personality and, you know, all of that perspective, you know, I want the team. I'm not necessarily saying they need to be in every day. I've actually got a rule at the moment where they have to be in at least 2 days a week.
Okay.
But everybody just tends to come in on Wednesdays and Thursdays because everybody wants a long weekend, you know. So I'm kind of trying to navigate it at the moment. There's no real sort of rules, are there?
I can see why Grant's conflicted, but I think the nature of what I'm in, that the human connection is really vital. And what I think I've seen is that the pandemic has made businesses more efficient, but not necessarily more creative. Because to be creative, you need to be interacting with people, and you can't do that unless you're in the same room. Mm-hmm. I think that's been efficiencies, effectiveness. I don't see anything. I think what Grant says is absolutely right. There's probably no difference, but that creative element, I think, is probably lacks a little bit now.
Yeah. So if I was to ask you what you think the solution is, what would you say?
What do you think the solution is, Sophia?
To the question, well, basically, I mean, personally, I think find balance, because I think some businesses have stated that they've actually seen production go up with people being able to work from home, you know, having a better work-life balance. And I think prior to COVID, I think a lot of people, and most of us, are probably guilty of, you know, working, you know, unbelievable amounts of hours and, you know, doing a lot more. Whereas now, I'm just trying to think, in which country is it that they've reduced? I think they've reduced the working week to 3 days, 3 days a week, and it's not been that long ago. I think it is Norway or one of the Scandinavian countries. And they're getting so much more productivity out of their people, because the time that they're actually working, they are full on and doing what they need to do. But having that work-life balance, more time with family, to do the things that they want to do, happy, it's, you know, if you have a happy life, you're going to be, you know, more productive. So the solution, I think it's a fine balance, Jason. My opinion is that I think, you know, working from home, because I do work from home a lot of the time, I'm not going to lie. I think it's something that sort of is simpler than having to travel, you know, hours into work and hours to get back home. I mean, I still do that, you know, in the week, and have to go into, you know, into an office once a week potentially. However, that's my opinion on things. I think there has to be a fine balance, but I think it's definitely something that, you know, could be open to discussion. You know, like Grant said, he's talking from a business perspective for himself. You know, Grant, like you said, you don't know whether it's, you know, whether your productivity hasn't got any better from people working from home, but it hasn't got worse. So, you know, what do you think the solution potentially could be?
I think that the one word that is becoming in the human language, which is more prevalent than ever before, is the word hybrid. I think it's never going to disappear. It's the way it is. I think that hybrid working capacity, to have that flexibility. I think just looking around when you're looking at job roles and opportunities, and you employ people, you ask them, you look at their expectations. Their expectation is there's always going to be a degree of flexible working. I think might be a little bit different in maybe sectors like hospitality and service industries, but in terms of like industries I think we're all in, there has to be a degree of flexibility, and therefore that's hybrid working, and that's the way it's going to be going forward. That's the way it is.
Yeah. Joanna, what do you think? Obviously, with education and things, obviously, kids are having to go back to school.
In the education area, children have lost a lot of learning during the pandemic. Teachers worked remotely and taught remotely. It wasn't as effective, of course it wasn't, because, you know, you're not standing in front of a group of children, you're not interacting with them normally. You couldn't take children on trips, you didn't have assemblies where they would all get together. Teachers couldn't touch the books and they couldn't mark children's work, they couldn't get close to children. So there was a massive sort of impact in my world. I think we're still catching up. We're still catching up on the gaps that the children have had. And schools have done their best, but there's still a lot to do. You've got children who we've had a couple of years really out. And children who are in reception class, for example, you know, they're 5 years old, they've missed a couple of years. So they've gone into, you know, year two in the UK, it's called year two, and they're around seven. And they've missed a whole load of skills that they should have had previously. So you are catching up. It's not effective. It's not as effective to have a teacher at the end of, a computer. It's so much more effective to have them in class. So for mm-hmm. the education world, yes, there is a place for Zoom calls and for Teams, but, you know, we can't get away from the fact that we make a difference because we're standing and working with children in a classroom or, in a school. There's so many things that they miss. Teachers who became teachers, you know, just before the pandemic, had 2 years of remote learning, basically, you know, teaching children mm-hmm. remotely. So then go on.
No, go ahead. Go ahead, John.
Sorry.
Go ahead. Go ahead.
No. Sorry. There's like a little bit of a lag, I think. We've got teachers, teachers who have trained, who haven't, you know, they've only been now teaching properly in front of children for a year. Do you see what I mean? And it's there's an issue. There's an issue.
Okay. So if I was to say, following on from that, so if I was to say to you, you know, the UK, we can only talk about the UK. Obviously, it's the invasion of the Brits tonight. If I was to say to you, do you think that the UK better before the pandemic, better off now? What are your thoughts? What would you say from that perspective?
I don't think there's any country in the world that's better off post-pandemic. I think everyone's trying to find... whether it's economically or emotionally, I think everyone is still in recovery, and I think it would take some time. I think it's where we almost need to get to the point where what do we think is the new norm, and I'm not sure where that is. And actually, all I know, at least in the UK, we're paying more for our food, we're paying more for our mortgages, we got governments are still trying to make a mess of things, and I think a pandemic, but it certainly was a catalyst. There are good things that come out of it, but I think in terms of overall, the human condition is still trying to find the right balance in a post-pandemic world, really.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. What are your thoughts, Grant?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's still a huge hangover from the pandemic. Obviously, you know, the obvious ones are the financial, but then I think the state of mental health. I think so many people suffered negatively by being locked up, and you know, people have continued to be, you know, more reclusive since the pandemic. But there are positives from it, don't get me wrong. I mean, I love going for walks with my wife now because that's what we used to do in the pandemic. We continue doing it, you know. I do spend more time at home working from home than I used to, despite what I was saying earlier, which again has, you know, benefits for the family. And, you know, I guess that the other thing that's really, you know, we embraced remote working as well, in terms of recruiting people from overseas. Now, there was a bit of that went on in our industry, since, you know, it's obviously been going on for years. But I think what the pandemic did was it accelerated the acceptance of recruiting people and getting them to join as a team member that you know, that we meet every day, even though they might be, you know, I've got a guy in Sweden and the Philippines and the States, you know, guy in Cyprus. And these guys are, you know, fully fledged member of the teams that join in with all the online meetings, but rarely come into the office for obvious reasons. And that is now, you know, the norm. It's not, it wouldn't be considered unusual. You know, there are pluses, but there's a lot of, I would call it the pandemic hangover. I do worry quite a bit about some of the people that are still, you know, lost their confidence as a result of being locked up for so long. I tell you what really amazed me as well about the pandemic, it really kind of, there was a divide of people that were super scared of the virus, and then people that weren't. And then you really got to see, you know, who were the rule breakers and who towed the line. The whole thing was like a big social experiment, wasn't it, really?
Yeah.
It was quite a, you know, and that's left its own hangover afterwards as well, you know, in terms of the way society
is. I think that's a discussion in itself, isn't it, Grant? I think the pandemic could be a show on its own, to be honest with you. It could be one of my shows that we can do in the future, because I think there's so many areas to discuss. You know, I think there could, you know, that it was detrimental, and like you said, completely. I agree with you, you know, unquestionably about the mental health issues that here, especially in the UK, people suffered. And I think, you know, from my perspective, it's what I will be supporting this year from a charitable perspective. You know, the company will be supporting, you know, a UK charity, Kaleidoscope, who, you know, are helping with these specific issues, you know, suicide sort of increased phenomenally and all of the different areas. And I think every single one of us, I think if we're honest, I think every single one of us has experienced some sort of mental health, you know, issue, if we want to call it an issue, at some point in our lives. But I think the pandemic definitely accelerated, you know, a much bigger, you know, problem, really. And I think it's down to us to try and help in any way, which way we can. You know, from a charitable perspective, you know, Jason, you can probably answer the question here, but the charitable sector was quite heavily affected, was it not, by the pandemic from a fundraising perspective?
Yeah, I think there was lots of organisations who traditionally rely on face-to-face fundraising. Clearly, they couldn't do that. I think there was a number of organisations in the UK. There's about 160,000 charities. I know of several smaller ones that closed down. They couldn't sustain it. So yeah, like businesses, charities are affected in the same way, but sometimes smaller charities aren't run like efficient businesses, and therefore they rely on the goodwill of people, and people look out for themselves, and obviously in charities rely on people looking out for other people. And I think it was a really challenging time. I think charities, like most organisations, like I say, still trying to find their feet. And I think there has been a degree of recovery, but I think we're still in recovery. And as the cost of living crisis continues, that affects charities as well. And like you say, there are some charities that specialise in supporting people with mental health or well-being. They're seeing an upsurge for the demand for their services, and yet they necessarily don't have the funding to meet those demands. And then you have, again, like in the UK, you've got the NHS, which is struggling, always will struggle, and charities are sort of filling the gap sometimes. It's a vicious circle, but I think the reality is, I think until we, say, like I said before, find that new norm, I think we're going to find people that are in need of more help, continue to be in need of help, and limited resources available. So it's a challenging time. And I think we hear about that we're going to get closer to fourth, like inflation's getting better controlled and so on. But it's just another stage of recovery. Because I hope it's a stage of recovery. So I'm generally positive about the future. I'm not necessarily positive about our politicians and so on sorting out as quick as they should do. They can't get their own acts together. But other than that, I think there is a more positivity now than there probably was maybe a year ago.
Yeah, I agree. That's a great answer. And I think we've just got to. I think it's down to us now. Like you said, Jason, I think the issue that we have with, from a political perspective, our country has been in turmoil. I mean, I can only talk for the UK. Obviously, the US is they've had their own issues to deal with, obviously, in the US as well. However, I think, you know, over the last 2 years, our country has been in turmoil. You know, our Prime Minister... or prime ministers have just, I don't really normally like to talk about political things. However, I just think we need, you know, proper leaders to be able to sort of lead the country back into Great Britain that we were. And I think at the moment, you know, we're struggling from that perspective. So I think we... you know, we need to sort of look at those areas as well, and you know, try and make a positive impact on businesses and individuals, you know, in this country now, and try and help as much as we possibly can. And you know, from my perspective and our business and my business partners and other directors of the company, you know, we want to do our bit with charity and sort of help and support. And we'll be holding a big event here in the UK on the 8th of October, the 7th of October for Kaleidoscope, you know, mental health charity. And we're dedicated to raise as much money as we possibly can. It's their 50th anniversary. So, you know, we're definitely going to be looking at that. And if you guys are free, then you know, drop me a line, and please come and support the charity. But anyway, I just want to say a huge thank you to all of you for taking the time out to call and have this discussion. You've been fantastic, and you know, on behalf of G Radio and myself and the show, I just want to say thank you to each and every one of you for contributing. It's been very interesting. Thank you so much. So the next show is, thank you, Joanna. Thank you, Grant. Thank you, Jason. Good night, everybody. So the next show, You're listening to the Ask Sophia Show on G Radio, New York City. Hi. Sorry about that technology, and I dropped off. My apologies, everybody, from that. I am so sorry. But again, let me just cover very quickly. Next week, join us again next week at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 11 a.m. here in the UK. It's been an absolute delight to be here with you tonight. And I just want to say a huge thank you to Jason, to Grant, and to Joanna, who called in from the UK. I think we've had a fantastic conversation on the topics that we covered today. So thank you again. But had a wonderful time. It's been an exciting time for me to actually be able to do the show. And thank you to all the listeners out there who have stayed with me this evening discussing these topics. It's been fantastic. Can't wait to be here with you for another show next Saturday. Like I said, it will be 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It will be 11 p.m. here in the UK. And I hope to get lots of you back here on the call. Let's have a call and speak about some of the things that are important to you. So thank you so much again. So until the next time, thank you. Speak very, very soon. Take care.
If you believe you can move the highest mountains, cross the greatest oceans, walk across the water, the water. You feel defeated, falling on your knees and looking up for some hope tonight. You try to stand up, but you throw your hands up, like you no longer have the strength to fight. Cause you've seen too many sunsets, too many days ending in the darkest night. But on your own, you'll never know, you'll never know. If you believe you can move the highest mountain, cross the greatest ocean, walk across the water, the water. Believe you can move the highest mountain, cross the greatest ocean, walk across the water. If you believe. They say that all you need is faith, but it's almost like you lost your way. Took a few wrong turns, took a few breaks, falling behind now looking for grace. Cause you need someone to lift you up, yeah, make right of the things you've done. Cause on your own you'll never know, you'll never know. If you believe you can move the highest mountain, you can do anything.